Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus?
Well, got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, people in 100 countries, you and me.
All right, so what do you got in the way of prayer request?
I'm in a lot of pain tonight. I've got chest pains, and I got great leg cramps, and there's something wrong with my neck right now. It's hard to turn. So I don't know if it's just because I was out in the cold today. I don't know, something weird.
So you're trying to say you're a pain in the neck?
Maybe it's just some, yeah, it could be.
All right, well, I have to pray for you for being a pain in the neck. Okay, and everybody knows my prayer request, as usual, for the ministry, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it took a little research because I have a sister who is not very trustworthy in what she says. So I found out after research that what she did say this time was truth, that one of my brothers had passed away. So we need prayer for the family that God will use this to reach the rest of the family in getting them saved. And we also want to pray for Emily and her usual prayer requests, as well as Lila's, for people in the nursing homes and first responders, as well as our police forces, military, and our government. Amen.
We also knew that Jamie was saved, and that's wonderful.
Amen to that. So we know that he's went on to glory, not because of anything he did, but because Jesus Christ was in his heart and he accepted Christ as his Savior. Amen. All right. So with that, we're going to get rolling out here with the Success Gospel Bus and do a little boogieing and hoe down for Jesus as we get rolling out here. Amen. Ready?
Amen.
So here we go.
One day they nailed a carpenter to a rugged tree, thinking he would never build again. Christian, you say you are, but that's stretching truth much too far. 'Cause in Christ, I doubt you believe. Jesus is Jehovah to me. Jesus is Jehovah to me. He's Lord and He's King of Kings. Almighty God. Now we both have said the Lord's coming back, and you've more than once stated that fact. Now it seems rather odd if your prophet's God, your dates have been so far off the track. Now the watchtower can only deceive, but from Jesus you can receive. God's Spirit comes in and you're born again, singing Jesus is Jehovah to me.
Yes, Jesus. driving there Friday on the way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see your mama and her daddy with the baby in the backseat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. She said, take the wheel, take it from my head. Cause I can't do this all on my own. I'm gonna let go.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, If you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, and it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated.
My soul said yes.
Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King.
Timothy Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. And then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the
Squad. With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into John chapter 9 and verse 2. John chapter 9 and verse 2.
His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
And you notice here is the most common asked question, not only in Jesus' day, but even yes, today. it's asked, who sent the person that's inconvenienced or their parents that they're born with an inconvenience? Who did the sin? Let's blame sin because they have an inconvenience. But later you find in the context, Jesus said neither, but that the works of God should be manifest in that person. So we find that in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, John chapter 9 and verse 2. Amen. in the midnight hour, when all seems so wrong, the King of all glory is ever so strong. He comes to our rescue with power to stay. Joy comes in the morning, oh what a glad day. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. The captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. It seems there's just no hope. When waves of disaster make it so hard to row, look around, there's the captain. Oh, the captain of joy. Joy comes in the morning. We'll sing ahoy. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. Oh, the captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. Joy comes in the morning to the saints of God. He gives us sweet victory in the path that we trod. Oh, the captain is Jesus, yes, sirree. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through. Oh, the captain is Jesus. He brings skies of blue. Joy comes in the morning when God brings us through.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? walk with thee. Just as I am without one thee, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of wonder thought, to thee whose blood can cleanse each soul, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am the tallest about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive with welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Thank you.
I feel like God wants me to be all that He wants me to be, but others don't see that the Lord, He lives in me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. All I want is to lend a helping hand, but I just cannot understand the cruel things people say as they laugh and walk away. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me. If God took away their sight, maybe then they would see the light. If God will use who He'll use, but it's man they'll try and choose. Just because God can use you doesn't mean can't use me. Just because I don't see you doesn't mean God can't see me.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser, and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
this week is the Hebrew word for Lord, which is Adonai. Adonai. A, E as in Daniel, O, N, A, I. Adonai. Psalm 119, verse 89. There is forever. O Lord, Adonai, thy word is settled in heaven. This has been Brother Timothy Groover coming to you with the Hebrew word of the week. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Your lure in the water, don't just sit by the shore. There are souls to be caught everywhere in this old world. Go where hearts are plenty, don't just drift with the tide. Keep your lure in the waters of life. The Lord said, Simon, haul your nets in from the home. You're a fisher of men, well, I like fishing. That's why it caught my ear. The Lord knew how to get to me and what I need to hear. Keep your lure in the water. Don't just sit by the shore. There are souls to be caught everywhere in this old world. Go where hearts are plenty. Don't just drift with the tide. Keep your lure in the water. When the sea is troubled and it's hard to stay afloat, and you feel like Jesus. Yeah, sleeping in the boat, don't you dare give up. On the prince of peace and in the middle of the storm, you will find a sweet relief. Keep your lure in the water, don't just sit by the shore. There are souls to be caught everywhere in this world. Go where hearts are plenty, don't just drift with the tide. Keep your lure in the water, in the waters of life. Yeah, keep your lure in the water, don't just sit by the shore. There are souls to be caught everywhere in this old world.
go where hearts are plenty. Don't just drift with the tide. Keep your lure in the waters of life. Hey, keep your lure in the water.
From all alarms, leaning. Victory in the Lord, on your heart to say. Let me ride on that long black train. But you know there's victory in the Lord, I say. Victory.
Professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-73-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief, and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of having a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I'm just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my father, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly.
Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, tonight we are going into a very special message that's going to talk about people with inconveniences. And we're going to be looking in John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, and we're going to study this verse by verse. First, John chapter 5 and verse 1.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem.
Now, the first thing you see, it is a time when it's a feast of the Jews, and Jesus comes up, and we find something's about to happen. And John chapter 5, verse 2.
Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches.
Now you notice something very interesting here. It describes a place by a pool. And it says, by this pool, there are five porches. Now, it did not say, healthy, wealthy crowd. Did not say the porches were right on top of this pool. It did not say these porches were right on top of this pool. Didn't say these porches were within 5 feet of this pool. So, obviously, these porches were a distance away, probably even at the shortest distance, maybe 10 feet, maybe 20 feet, from the edge of this pool. It did not say these porches were right on top of the pool, sitting right next to it. It says there were five porches there. Now notice how many porches. Also, there are five porches, not one porch. And these obviously were not small porches. Very soon we're going to see why they were not small porches. But there were five porches. And what is the significance of it? Well, we're going to find out in the next verse. John chapter 5 and verse 3.
Yes. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water.
Now you notice it says, in these porches, there was a great multitude. Notice those key words, great multitude. It wasn't one person per porch. These were not small porches. Notice the key word, great multitude. Multitude. So there must have been at least 40, 50, 60, 70, or more people at these porches. There had to be at least 10 or more per porch. So they were good-sized porches. There was a multitude. Remember, when Jesus preached to the multitudes, there were thousands. That's what a multitude was. So these porches were not small. And there was a great multitude in these porches. It didn't say a small multitude. It said a great multitude in these porches. And there were five of them. Impotent, etc., etc. Waiting for the moving of the water. Why were they waiting for the moving of the water? Well, let's find out. John chapter 5 and verse.
Angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Now you notice, it said, after the troubling of the water, there was an angel. It came down and troubled the water, and whoever stepped down first, whoever got in the pool first after the troubling of the water was cured. But it also said at a specific season, so these people could look forward to knowing when this angel would appear. At a specific date, a specific time of the year, for this angel to come down. It was like clockwork. So they knew when it would happen. Healthy, wealthy crowd, get that into your head. These people knew when this angel would appear. It said at a certain season. It didn't say once a year, which would have indicated that they didn't know. No, said at a certain season. They knew exactly when this angel would come. All right, now let's continue. John chapter 5 and verse 5.
And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years.
Now you notice, it says there was now, it goes on to describe, that there was a man that had an infirmity, an illness, a sickness. And he was laid up there 38 years. 38 years. Now, what's significant about that? We're going to find out. John chapter 5 and verse 6. John chapter 5 and verse 6.
Saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole?
And you notice, Jesus now shows up because he's there for this feast of the Jews. And he shows up and he says to this man, looking at him, knowing that this man had been there 38 years, he's asked a rhetorical question. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you going to be cured? Are you going to get your healing? Now, what does the man respond? John chapter 5 and verse 7.
The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me.
Okay, healthy, wealthy crowd. It's time to stop and slow down at this verse. You all say that this man did not make an effort, that all he did is lay there like a beached whale on his bed. You better read that verse again. All you see is this man telling Jesus, well, there's no man to put me in the pool. Poor pity me. You lying dog, you. You didn't read the whole verse. The man did say no man put him in the pool. But what does it go on to also say? When I am coming. This man was obviously a paraplegic. He's obviously a paraplegic. And he knows that the water is being troubled, going to be troubled. And he's moving along like a slug on his belly, trying to crawl and pull himself along with his two hands to get to the pool in time. But in due process, now obviously, who are also in these porches? Blind people. They've got two good legs. They could easily be sitting there. As soon as they hear the water troubled, they know the exact direction of it, and they could just take a few quick steps and poof, drop in, and they're healed. Hello, healthy, wealthy. While this man is being like a slug on his belly and barely get maybe a quarter of the way, half of the way, they fall. The blind person falls in the pool, gets cured. And this happens year after year after year after year after year after year. And then he has to crawl his way back to his bed, and the kind of beds they had are not like ours that are up on a frame up off the floor, but no, they were like a mat, and so he'd crawl and get back upon this porch and lay on his bed. Now, you know these porches have to be really big if it's got a multitude of people and they have these mats or beds. And this man had tried for 38 years, crawling like a slug on his belly each year. Now, he certainly wasn't going to attempt to crawl out there 4 days ahead of time so he could be at the edge of the pool. Why? Because what if the day just before, or the night just before, it would rain. He could have got soaked. Oh, yeah, maybe falling in the water would have not only cured his impotency and his paraplegia, but it would also cured his other sickness from getting wet and sick and cold like that. But he just wasn't willing to take the chance. So he would try the morning up. And here he is going along like a worm across the ground, pulling himself along. The water would get troubled. Some blind man or a person with a leprous hand or something, having two good legs, seeing the water troubled, right into the pool, and once again, did not get his healing again and again and again. And think of the disappointment of that man. After 38 years, when Jesus asked the question, of course he's going to say, well, there's no man to put me in the pool. What he's trying to say is, hey, I've tried all this time when I'm coming. He said that very clearly. But when I'm coming, I'm in the process of coming, someone else beats me. Every time I've tried. If somebody would have picked me up and carried me, I could have had a chance. But I didn't have that chance. No one was willing to be nice enough to do it. That was the problem, Mr. Healthy Wealthy. Amen. Now we're going to John chapter 5 and verse 8. John chapter 5 and verse 8.
Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk.
Now you notice, as soon as Jesus said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Take up your mat, your bed, and walk. Now, did this man have faith enough in to get his healing, Mr. Healthy Wealthy? Absolutely. Jesus spoke it, and this man already had more than enough faith. More than enough. Because as soon as he said it, boom, he was healed instantaneously. Because he already had the faith, you notice in the previous verse. Why? Because he had been attempting it for 38 years. He had been making the attempt. And Jesus saw this. And so Jesus said, okay, well, you've been attempting it yourself. I will give you healing. There's a story here to be learned. What story can we learn right there from these two verses? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You cannot get yourself spiritually healed by what you do. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could do all of the things like buying the Girl Scout cookies. You could help all the old little ladies across the street all you want. You could do all of the good things you want. You could go to church. You could read your Bible. You could tithe all you want. You could give your money until you're poor. But unless you know Christ yourself and have the faith to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you don't have faith to accept Christ at his word and accept him as your Savior, you will not go to heaven. It's that simple. You have to trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Just as this man, he could not do anything good enough to get himself in that pool. But when Christ said, wilt thou be made whole, and when he told that man to take up his bed and his walk, he knew that he had the faith to trust what Christ himself said, and he took Christ at his word, and he stood up, and he walked, and he took up his bed, and he walked, period. All right? Now let's look at John chapter 5 and verse 9.
And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath.
And you notice something also peculiar about that? When he took up his bed and walked, took up his bed and walked, and it was a Sabbath day. Not good. And it's a feast day on top of it. Not good. Not good at all. Not good. And so let's find out what happens now. John chapter 5, verse 10.
The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
And you notice, who had to speak up? Yeah, the Pharisees and all the snobs. Hey, it's the Sabbath day. You ain't supposed to pick up your bed and walk. You ain't supposed to do that. You ain't supposed to carry your bed on Sabbath. Didn't matter that the man just got healed. Didn't matter that the man had just been cured after 38 long years. Didn't mean a hoot to them. Yeah, you ain't supposed to carry your bed on Sabbath. It's the Sabbath day. Poor babies. All right, John chapter 9, verse 11.
He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk.
And you notice what the man said? I like this. Well, hey, I'm only doing what I was told. The person who made me whole, the person who made me in one piece, told me to take up my bed and walk. John chapter 5 and verse 12.
Then answered they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?
And you notice the Jews now, they want to know, well, who told you to do that? Who told you to do that? You just told us of the man that healed you. Well, who was it? We want to know, because he's obviously breaking the Sabbath for healing you on the Sabbath and telling you to take up your bed and walk. Who is that rascal? We want to know, because this ain't right. Okay, John chapter 5. And verse 13.
And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place.
And you notice, the man says, basically, I don't know, because Jesus, after he had told him to take up his bed and walk, Jesus split the sea. He hid in the crowd. And it was a multitude, once again, another multitude that was in that place. So he was hid in a major crowd. All right, John chapter 5, verse 14.
Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee.
And you notice Jesus now, when the man goes through the crowd and all of a sudden finds and sees Jesus, Jesus tells him, you're made whole, but go and sin no more, unless something worse comes upon you. In this case, this man's paraplegia was a result of some sin that he did. All right, John chapter 5. And verse 15.
The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole.
And you notice, now that this man knew it was Jesus, what does he do? He goes and tells the Jews. And as you continue to read, then they confront Jesus because they're all mad. They didn't want to get glad again. Why? Because he healed a man on the Sabbath day. But the main point is, this man had laid there for 38 years. But in modern days, we got people that kind of nitpick and say, well, this man, yes, he did some sin that caused him to be in that condition. But it wasn't that he wasn't trying to get himself cured and get himself out of that condition. He was trying. Excuse me. Read the scripture. He was trying. It said that as he was coming, someone else beat him to it. Read your scriptures carefully. The Bible makes itself clear. That's why it pays to read all of God's word, not the parts that you want to read to fit your measly little doctrines. Amen. So as this man did, when he realized that his works would not work, and Jesus offered him the opportunity to be made whole, and he took Jesus up on the offer because he knew that Jesus was the only way, well, today it's true too. Your works will not save you. You need to accept Christ and Christ alone. He is the only doorway. He is the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And the Bible also says, by no other name can man be saved but by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve, going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low. Faith and gasoline, it's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. And before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both of life flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up. Over now, oh, tonight.
The name of each saloon is a bar, the fittest of its names by far. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well. A bar to manliness and wealth, a door to want and broken health. A bar to honor, pride and fame, a door to grief and sin and shame. A bar to hope, a bar to prayer, a door to darkness and despair. A bar to honor useful life, a door to brawling, senseless strife. A bar to all that's true and brave, a door to every drunkard's grave. A bar to joys that home imparts, a door to tears and aching hearts. A bar to heaven, a door to hell. Whoever named it well.
All right, Ruth, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right, well, Carrie Underwood singing the song, and it's that Jesus Take the Wheel. The poem is about the bar in this case, it's usually sort of a booze joint. But I think they're trying to say here that the song is going along with this particular poem, and that she's talking about a lady that's out driving in her car, and how she wants Jesus to take the wheel out of her hands and put it into his. So we need to get our into his, and we should not go to a bar. But the thing is, you should just get your life right, and the Lord will get you that way if you accept him into your heart.
So what would you say, maybe in one concise sentence, what do you say is your common message between the two?
Well, I guess best way to put it is let Jesus take the wheel of your life and take it over by accepting him as Lord.
Well, Ruth, good, real good, but not what we were looking for. Sorry. So what we were looking for is, if you're going to go to the bar, you better have a designated driver and let Jesus take the wheel. That's what we were looking for.
Well, I did say Jesus take the wheel, but you're supposed to accept him as Lord is what the whole point is there.
All right, so you're 14 for 19 now, and well, with that, you'll have to get back on a good roll here, hopefully next week. All right, so here we go with the rest of the program. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, nation rising against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called the few who are chosen. Run along, let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore.
Prophet destined to calamity. There are three personages with whom the people living on the earth in the last days will have to deal. They are Jesus Christ, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The Bible gives us full and particular details about these three persons, about their coming into power, about their overall program, and everything we need to know about them. Concerning Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he has bought this earth, and despite the tremendous struggle mankind is putting forth to control it, eventually Christ will be king over all the earth. Secondly, we know that Satan wants this earth for his own. Satan has tried to control the system of the world under four previous empires. 1, Babylonian. 2, Medes and Persian. 3, Grecian. And 4, Roman. In all four situations, he failed most miserably. As we look at the world situation, we realize, according to the Bible, that in the last day, Satan will endeavor to make a fifth attempt, and it will be through a human being whom the Apostle John calls the Antichrist. Satan is endeavoring to gain complete control of this world system. He failed on previous occasions, but he's going to try again to gain worldwide prominence through his adopted son becoming the ruler of this world. His adopted son, and I may say this is my own phraseology, is known in Scripture as the Antichrist. Bible says he will come into international prominence, rise to certain heights, have many failures, and become the laughingstock of the world. It's all to be embodied in his initial appearance upon the earth. This must be so because Daniel calls him the little horn. This means little dictator. When speaking of the Antichrist, most people present nothing but success for him all the way. But we must remember that there will be temporary setbacks to in his administration of the world system. So complicated will the political situation be in the final hours of man's day, which extends from Adam to the Battle of Armageddon, that Satan will assist it in his international program of satanic skullduggery by a second individual known in Scripture as another beast. Revelation 13:11, the word beast in here used to identify the false prophet, and in Scripture has four different meanings, one of them referring to depraved men. Perfect example of this is found in 2 Peter 2:12, where Peter speaks of natural brute beasts, and again in Jude verse 10. In other words, they are men who are satanically possessed to do evil acts like beasts. This will be one of the traits of both the Antichrist and the false prophet, a reason for God to bring an appalling calamity upon the false prophet. At the same time, we must remember that there will be miraculous signs and lying wonders manifested in behalf of those two men upon the earth in the last days. The Bible tells us very clearly that it will, if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. Here's a portion of Scripture which tells us about those coming satanic miracles and lying wonders. And all let's remember that these are to be brought out about by satanically inspired and satanically empowered human beings. Now here's a Scripture. Even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, KJV. Therefore, let me caution each one of you to be reminded of the absolute fact that as we get near the end of this age, cunning, miraculous, worldwide, and awe-inspiring signs are to be the order of the day. They will be in conjunction with the final preparations for the appearance and revelation of the Antichrist. And I have every reason to believe that they will be performed or manipulated by an international religious leader under the disguise of confusing and camouflaging satanic real inventions, the presentation of his Antichrist to the world. Let's face facts. The majority of the people living on the earth in this particular moment do not pay very much attention to the message of the gospel, and naturally God will be justified in permitting unsaved individuals to be satanically deceived, because as the scripture says, they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned or judged who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12 in your King James Version. There may be those who would ask the question, why does God permit such evil things to go on in the world? And why would God, that he's being holy and righteous, allow mankind to become confused and distorted in his thinking, and because of pressing circumstances, make wrong decisions, and by so doing, displease God? The answer to these interesting questions is simply that God gives everybody an opportunity to make a decision, because after all, we are free moral agents. We can say yes or we can say no. Therefore, because God has allowed mankind to have the gospel message presented to him, but the masses of people on this earth have rejected the gospel message, so his permissive will, God will going to permit Satan and the false prophet to do things that Satan desires them to do. We're beginning to see how Satan will eventually fulfill his promise to the Antichrist by giving him the glories of the kingdoms of this world. At the same time, please bear in mind the fact that the false prophet is going to play an important part in the Antichrist kingdom and, well, worldwide rule. The false prophet is the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 who will work in conjunction with the Antichrist. The Bible teaches that the false prophet will be a physical man. My reason for saying this is the first beast, the Antichrist, will be a man and not a system or worldwide organization as some people teach. The scripture telling us that Antichrist will be a man is found in Revelation 13:18, where it's the number of a man. This verse of scripture is talking about the Antichrist number, and plainly says it's the number of a man, not the number of a church or organization, and not the keeping of a day. It's the number of a man. Therefore, the second beast will also be a man, and there will have a number of verses scripture to support this. Please bear in mind, this verse of Scripture tells us, second beast, the false prophet, will be a man. Scripture, and I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation 16 and verse 13. This verse of Scripture talks about the time when unclean spirits, like frogs, will come from Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, go to the leaders of the governments of the earth to persuade them to bring their armies to the Battle of Armageddon. Therefore, we must reconcile our thinking with the fact that the false prophet will be a human being. The big overall encompassing program of the false prophet will be that he might help to gather the nations of the world at Jerusalem. And when I say nations, naturally I'm referring to the armies of the nations. And that they might be at Jerusalem when Jesus Christ comes from heaven with the armies of the angels and the redeemed to reign for 1,000 years upon the earth in person. Satan desires his Antichrist as leader of the armies of the world to be there so a swift attempt to annihilate Jesus Christ may be carried out. The Battle of Armageddon will be Satan's fifth attempt to slay Christ. In all of his satanic program, you'll notice that the Antichrist is assisted by an individual known as Bible prophecy. If the Bible is a false prophet, Satan realizes the tremendous power of religion he has in the hearts and minds of people. The false prophet is to be established religious leader known throughout the world, but Satan will use him in an endeavor to get the people to cooperate under the disguise of worship, which will be in connection with their religious service. Scripture, and he, false prophet, exercised all the power in the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the beast, or the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. That's Revelation 13:12, KJV. In the latter part of that verse, you'll note the word worship used, denoting that the false prophet's influence will come through the medium of religious activity. Naturally, it will present quite a trying situation for the Antichrist, who will be a political and military man, to demand recognition from the people of the world. But if an individual who is already acknowledged religious leader cooperates with him and possesses the same power he has functioning with him, there will be little difficulty to getting the people of the world to go along with Satan's program implemented through the Antichrist. Please remember, the false prophet will be a worker of miracles. Okay, here's the scripture. And he, false prophet, the second beast, does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the side of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Revelation 13:13-14, King James Version. The purpose of the association of these two men is to use a religious manipulation thereby. Through the pretense of worship and religion, the false prophet will be able to perform various miraculous signs, lying wonders, and religious hocus pocus. Of course, this seemingly miraculous power is going to have a tremendous influence and submissive effect upon the peoples of the world. To the average non-Christian living on the earth at that time, such a display of miraculous power will believe that the religious leader doing these things is the chosen agent of God. In all reality, he will be pulling the wool over the eyes of the people, and he's speaking, so to speak. Here's the scripture which bears out the biblical truth. Even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and sign and lying wonders, and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, and that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, judged, in believe not the truth that had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12 in your King James Version. This portion of scripture, you'll note that God is going to send them strong delusion. The strong delusion will come upon unbelieving people in that day, and naturally, because of this leading influence which God will permit to come upon the population of the earth, because they have refused to accept the gospel message faithfully given forth by his servants, and they'll be led away and will accept both the Antichrist and the false prophet. As we look around the world today, we already see the spirit of unbelief permeating every facet of our society. As we get closer to the culmination of this age, at which time God will permit satanic Antichrist to make his appearance on the world scene, later accompanied by the small second beast, not the false prophet, we're going to see more and more satanic influence being exercised upon the people of the earth. At that time, God will place in the hearts of the unbelievers a fatal delusion, or as the Greek text puts it, an inner working, a misleading influence. This inner working in the hearts of the unbelieving population together with the satanic miracles, which the Antichrist will perform that time, will be means of leading the people completely astray. This is part of the great deception which is coming on the earth. We're already seeing initial steps of progress moving forward toward ultimate fulfillment. Speaking of the false prophet, the Bible tells us that he is to come out of the earth, which means that he will receive his power for the people, or I should say all manifest his satanic power through the peoples of the earth, because he is to be an international personality. Scripture, and I beheld another beast, false prophet, coming up out of the earth. That's Revelation 13:11 in your King James Version. A mark of distinction which will make the false prophet somewhat different from the Antichrist so that he will have two dictatorships, though noted by the two horns of the male lamb. In the second part of the above verse of Scripture, we read, and he, false prophet, another beast, had two heads like a lamb. The false prophet will have power given to him by Satan to do great and wonderful things. So it's making fire come down from heaven in the sights of the people living on the earth. This is nothing new because Satan is able to do this now. So, and in the Old Testament, we're told how Satan sent fire down to burn up Job's sheep. You remember that during the days of Moses, when he was contending with Pharaoh in Egypt, the rod became a serpent when it was cast to the ground. Pharaoh's magicians also cast their rods down, and they too became serpents. From these two incidents recorded in Scripture, we know that Satan has tremendous power that the average person fully realizes. During the reign of the false prophet, he is to command the people on the earth to make a big, great image to the Antichrist. It would be because of these two-horned dictatorships that he'll be able to cast the people to comply with his request. The Bible says the people are going to be forced to worship the image of the Antichrist by bowing down, and if they're not willing to bow down, they'll be killed. Scripture, and he, false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should will speak and cause as many as though would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:15 in the King James Version. We believe this image is to be a statue, something made out of material substance, and for years we Bible students have wondered how a man could give a plastic statue the ability to speak. Today we have the miraculous marvel of electronics, and when we realize that what man has done with robots, which actually perform many functions of the human body controlled by a central station, we know it would be no trick at all for the image to speak, because after all, this is to be done through satanic deception. The great image of the Antichrist is to be erected in the Middle East. Part of the world will talk and give orders and instructions. Because the people will be under the influence of a strong delusion, they will be afraid and not to obey. Naturally, as the world moves closer to the ultimate fulfillment of this specific scientific prophecy, more light will be shed on the subject. Personally, I believe the Bible teaches that the Antichrist rule with the false prophet as its right-hand man will be international rule of worldwide scope. Here's my reason for saying so, Scripture. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore, idolatrous woman, sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's Revelation 17:15. You'll note the word sitteth in this verse of Scripture. This is the worst, say, word which would be used in describing a person riding a horse. We would say that the person was sitting on the horse. In other words, the horse is literally carrying that person, and the individual in this particular verse of Scripture is the idolatrous woman. She controls and guides the horse, as it were. This woman is overseen or guided by the false prophet, and naturally, guided by the false prophet, and naturally his jurisdiction extends into many nations of the earth. That's why the scripture says they are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. We look further into the scriptures. We find that the false prophet controls the woman of Revelation 17 and 18, so read both chapters. Speaking about this woman, the Apostle John says he was awestruck by her ecclesiastical beauty, and he describes it in this manner. There's the scripture. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery of Babylon the Great, Mothers of Harlots, also of Revelation 17, 3 through 5. In the 18th chapter of Revelation, John saw another picture of the same woman, and here he describes her in this manner. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, Revelation 18:16, in your KJV. Whoever is at the head of the city spoken of in the 17th and 18th chapter of the book of Revelation and identified as the false prophet will in all probability continue throughout the 7 years of the tribulation period, because the Bible tells us that the Antichrist and the false prophet, both of them satanically inspired, are to come to a frightful, calamitous end at the same time. Please consider this verse of scripture with me. And the beast, Antichrist, was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, Revelation 19:20. This is the calamity to which the false prophet is destined. We're looking at the other overall plan of God as laid down in Scripture concerning the end-time ministry of an individual known in Bible prophecy as the false prophet. We've seen the false prophet is to be given unusual satanic powers. In fact, the Bible says he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. In other words, the false prophet will receive a duplication of whatever power the Antichrist receives from Satan. He will perform signs and lying wonders through satanic inspiration because God will permit him to do so. The masses of the people on the earth in the last days will have lived ungodly lives, stopping their ears to the gospel message and refusing the message of salvation in Christ Jesus. So God will permit the false prophet to deceive them through Satan's power in performing signs and lying wonders. God will allow them to stew in their own juice. According to the prophecies laid out in Scripture, the false prophet is to be a man of tremendous importance, and he will work closely associated with the Antichrist during the tribulation period. God is going to send his dictator, Jesus Christ, back to the earth at the culmination of the tribulation period, and Christ will destroy both the Antichrist and the false prophet by casting them alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, the first hell, which is located in the lower regions of the earth, according to Luke 16, of course you're going to want to read the whole chapter, is described as a flame. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame, but in Revelation 19:20, the scripture is talking about the second hell, Gehenna, which is described as a lake of fire. It's not described as a flame, but as an ocean of fire. The only lake of fire in the universe today is the sun. According to the Book of Knowledge, which contains photographs of the sun, great waves of fire mount up many thousands of miles high on the surface of the sun. The Bible tells us that the false prophet and the Antichrist are going to be cast alive into a lake of fire at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, which will be the beginning of the day of the Lord or the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. There's an amazing thing about these two men being cast into the lake of fire. Please note how the power of God comes into the picture. These two men will not be consumed in that fire because at the end of the thousand years, the lake of fire is going to give them up for judgment. They are to be taken out of the lake of fire, and they will appear at the white throne judgment, where they'll be judged just like any other sinner. Bible teaches that everybody down through the ages who has rejected God's plan of salvation must eventually stand at the white throne judgment and be judged out of the books. By books, the scripture means the book of life, and then God's, or, yeah, the Lamb's book of life. Everybody born into this world has his name written in the book of life, and it stays there until he sins or wins to sin. Later, if he repents of his sin and accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, his name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's Psalm 69:28 and Revelation 21:17. Both of these books will be at the white throne judgment, and before anyone is consigned to the second death, both books will be searched for his name. Therefore, everybody down through the years who has rejected Christ and God's plan of salvation is going to be judged at the white throne judgment and then cast into the lake of fire to remain there forever. The false prophet is destined to calamity because his destiny has already been determined in God's overall plan of the ages, and God is one who never lies, who always keeps his promises and carries out his plans in absolute detail. Not only is the false prophet destined to calamity in the devil's hell for the countless ages of God's extremities, or eternities, but the Bible tells us that the woman of Revelation 17 and 18 is also destined to calamity. Of course, you'll want to read both of those chapters. Scripture, and the 2 ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, idolatrous woman, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16, KJV. In other words, these 10 horns, which will be 10 dictators, who gave the 10 separate portions of the revived old Roman Empire, are to plan with the Antichrist to destroy the beautiful city built on 7 hills, which reigns over the kings of the earth. The scripture says, she will be burned with fire. The 10 kings, together with the Antichrist and the false prophet, are going to skip up the city of all of us wealth and valuable treasures and make it desolate. At the same time, they'll burn the city to the ground. May I suggest you read Revelation 18, beginning with verse 4 and continuing through verse 20. This is all in conjunction with the reign of the Antichrist and the calamity which they come upon the false prophet at the end of the tribulation period. In the days just prior to the return of Christ in the earth, 10 nations are to rise in Europe, which will become very powerful, and they will assist the Antichrist. Here's the scripture. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are yet kings. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, the Antichrist. For God has put in his hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, the Antichrist, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Revelation 17, 12 through 13 and 17, okay, in the KJV. All this appears perfectly with what Daniel had to say in the book about the return of Jesus Christ. Scripture, and the days of those kings, 10 toes and Nebuchadnezzar's image, old Roman Empire's nations, shall the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44, KJV. What we're seeing in Europe today regarding the gathering of 10 nations is part of the signs of our times, and it is magnificently fulfilling the Bible prophecies. The false prophet is to play a tremendous part in the speedy fulfillment of many Bible prophecies relative to the Antichrist's appearance and worldwide kingdom in the last days. The false prophet is to be at the head of a great organization then located on 7 hills, which is a city that ruleth over the kings of the earth. You'll find that in Revelation 17:18. The Bible tells us that the false prophet is to have the same power as the Antichrist has. Scripture, and he, false prophet, exercised all the power of the first beast and the Antichrist before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell upon them to worship the first beast. And he doeth great wonders, miracles, so that he, false prophet, might fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he, false prophet, deceiveth them that dwelt on the earth by the means of their miracles which they had power to do in the sight of the beast. That's Revelation 13:12 through 14 in King James Version. prophet. A false prophet is to become the mouthpiece for the Antichrist, causing all the inhabitants of the world to worship Satan's adopted son, the man of sin. Scripture, and he, false prophet, had power to give life everlasting to, or no, had power to give unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast could be killed. That's Revelation 13:15 in your KJV. False prophet is going to give spectacular exhibitions of his satanic power by causing fire to come down from heaven in the sight of man. This is a second in the power to the Antichrist. We've seen that when Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, the conclusion of the battle of Armageddon, he is to take the Antichrist, the false prophet, and have him cast alive into the lake of fire. And the beast Antichrist was taken, and will him with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both Antichrist and false prophet will cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. We learn from Scripture that there will be two men will not be consumed in the lake of fire, but at the end of the thousand-year reign, Christ is to give up these two dead sinners, and they're to stand at the white thread judgment and give an account to Christ for their behavior as human beings while here on the earth. Thus we see the doom of the false prophet. He's going to be treated like any other sinner, and after he's judged, he, together with the Antichrist and all those sinners of all ages, are going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with fire and brimstone. You will notice that the woman spoken of in Revelation 17:18 is described as a great city, and we have her destruction or doom also withheld in Scripture. Next Scripture. And the 10 horns which shall sauce upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, the idolatrous woman, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Revelation 17:16. When this happens, an angel will come down from heaven and cry out, saying, Scripture, and cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the court of every false spirit, or every unclean and hateful bird. Revelation 18:2, KJV. During the 100,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, while Satan is bound in the bottomless pit, all the devils, all the unclean, hateful birds and unclean animals will be driven into this kingdom city, will be in just a heap of ashes as we've just seen. This verse of Scripture, Revelation 18:2, in the high at which they had... First of Scripture, Revelation 18:2, in the light of what I've just said, shows the destruction of the great city, which is spoken of as Babylon, meaning to say that the religion of this great city originally came from Babylon. Thus will end the woman, the kingdom city, located on seven hills, but the false prophet will continue with the Antichrist after the city has been destroyed, causing all the people upon the earth to bow down and worship the image of the Antichrist or to be put to death. This rulership of the false prophet will be culminated at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ will cause both the Antichrist and the false prophet to be cast into the lake of fire, according to Revelation 19:20, KJV. The frightful calamity which will overtake the false prophet is foretold in Scripture and will come to pass exactly as it's written. And next lesson will be Israel in four stages.
Hey. You can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things
Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, the space that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is an at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater, from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flame. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. That's HolinessBiblesForTheBlind.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Skies Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there, and once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week, and you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe. And you'll have us 7 days a week, and you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and finally, Ruth, who do we got with us here at the end of the program?
Well, you know, we've got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels with 100 people in 100 countries, and we've got you, Sister Emily, and little old me.
All right, now that we got Sister Emily on here, what do you got for us in the way of prayer requests that you didn't get on earlier, Sister Em?
You'll have to unmute yourself, Sister Emily.
What were you saying, Kenny? I would be in bad over you on me.
That's it. I said you have to unmute yourself, Sister Emily, so we can hear you.
I was being a little bad while I was on mute. I'll put it that way. And good
well,
thing I
we
wasn't.
Can't.
I was on mute because I would have been in trouble with Boss Man if he would have heard me.
Well, how can we hear your prayer request if you're muted?
Well,
we certainly can't read your mind.
You know my usual for first responders, medical personnel, patients, no matter whether it's nursing home or hospital, for Six and his family, for brother and sister Quick and Pastor and Sister Bonnet. Also, be keeping me in prayer because this week I will find out for sure what days I'm going to have to be starting my chemo treatments again.
Okay. Anything else?
Also be keeping Austin and his family in prayer because of all the junk that's been going on with them.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing else.
Okay. Well, with that, we'll get Sister Ruth to give us a closing prayer. You want to remember those things, Ruth? And we're out of here. And would want to invite everybody to tomorrow night's show, The Truth and Matter, with Dr. Doug Quick. And we hope everybody would enjoy being with us at 9 p.m. Eastern here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Kenny?
Yes.
Also for our ministry, also be keeping me in prayer because after doing a power walk and acting like a goofball because I got mad, now I got myself hurting like the devil. So Sister Ruth, join the club.
Yep, amen. All right, well, Sister Ruth.
Oh, dear precious Lord, be with Emily tonight and me with all the pain and Kenny his flu and me and the flu and stiff neck and all the other thing that's going on and the first responders and Reverend and Mrs. Quick, Reverend Mrs. Bonnet, Kenny out there in Poland that's trying to get some people saved. And we got about covers. So I'm going to go to sleep on you guys if I don't quit pretty soon. All right, we want to praise and bless your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And we'll see you tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Amen.
Mm-hmm.